This is Dr. Clyde Wilson reading from my book, Sports Nutrition Engineering, subtitled Fueling Lean Tissue Instead of Body Fat for Greater Health and Performance. Introduction. Like all things in life, sports nutrition is both profoundly simple and complex. The simple version is to eat healthy foods in balance and more of it as you exercise harder, based on the concept of calories in, calories out, and your common sense of what it means to eat balanced, healthy meals. Unfortunately, this simple approach does not apply when an athletic person wants to reduce body fat because they might eat less, not more, as they work out harder. This can hurt their energy and recovery, meaning their short-term performance, as well as their health or long-term performance. A better approach is getting more out of your nutrition, sending less of what you're eating to body fat and more to the lean tissues actually doing work. These principles would also enable you to push your body harder without becoming overtrained, regardless of any weight loss goals. By undersupplying the body, the concept of calories in, calories out by itself can end up doing more harm than good. My goal in writing this book is to help you engineer your nutrition for health and performance strategically by composing and timing your food beyond just considering calories. Your cells have no idea what you eat. They only know what is in your bloodstream, and they want their needed nutrients continuously 24 hours per day. Your meals should therefore process slowly to provide for your cells as many hours as possible with the full spectrum of things needed. It all comes down to steady and continuous blood chemistry, meaning both nutrients and the hormones that regulate their use. If your bloodstream has everything your lean tissue needs from minute to minute as you go through your day, then your lean tissue will maximize its function and body fat will get very little. Even just 1 hour falling short hurts your mental and physical function for that hour. On the flip side, excess in your blood overflows nutrients to waste and body fat, losing those nutrients or forcing you to use them later as fat. Fat burning is inherently slow, reducing high-intensity performance and recovery. It is easy to fall short of your target blood chemistry when combining low-carb consumption together with intensive training, not even realizing that the combination is hurting you more than helping. Here are a few examples. 1. Squeezing in a few hard workouts each week. You squeeze in some hard workouts during the week and only eat protein right after exercising, leaving your blood sugar low and blood cortisol high. The fitter you get, the harder you work out, making the problem worse over time, to the point that muscle breakdown from poor blood chemistry can exceed the exercise gains. You end up in the crazy situation that although exercise at first dropped your body fat, it eventually actually increases it. Example 2. Exercising right after waking up in the morning. You exercise right after waking up, dropping your blood sugar even lower than it already is from not having eaten since dinner the night before. You assume that not feeling hungry means you do not need calories, but the drastic blood sugar drop from exercise spikes your cravings later in the day. So the first half of your day, low blood sugar and high cortisol eats away at your muscle mass, and the second half of the day you search for constant snacks, increasing body fat. Example 3. Alternating between carb meals and vegetable meals. Although technically vegetables are carbs, they are much lower in calories than fruits and starches. It is common for us to eat meals that are high in vegetables, like salad, and at other times high in carb calories, like pizza, a burrito, or a sandwich. Salad often does not contain enough calories to maintain blood sugar more than a couple hours. Carb-heavy meals generate insulin response that can clear out blood sugar in less than an hour. Either way, blood sugar ends up low and cortisol high. Fixing the problem. Don't change how or when you exercise, just fix your blood chemistry. There is nothing wrong with squeezing in hard workouts, exercising first thing in the morning, or eating pizza. But you could have a low blood sugar from not eating right after exercise, and then later in the day, a low blood sugar from the insulin response to pizza or some other high-carb meal. This would leave you with a low blood sugar all day long, first from not eating enough, and then from eating too much. Managing your other nutrients is just as important as blood sugar, but carbohydrate increases body fat the fastest, and eating too much of it can actually lower how much of it is in your blood because of the insulin response. No other food group is therefore as touchy or tough to get right. If you get fatter when you exercise harder, your timing is off. Many people trying to lose weight with diet and exercise find that weight loss is short-lived, eventually turns into weight gain, and all the while we feel somewhat miserable. Dieting, quote-unquote, can leave us feeling deprived or starved, low in energy, with accumulating injuries, a low sleep quality, eventually deranging the immune system with increasing food allergies, and low hormone production, such as testosterone, estrogen, growth hormone, and thyroid hormone. These changes reduce recovery, so you might think you need to eat more, but body fat is going up, indicating you need to eat less. Instead of either, shift where the calories go so you get more out of what you eat. The importance of blood chemistry applies to both strength and endurance athletes. Two athletes I've worked with that fall on opposite ends of the spectrum, strength versus endurance, are Will Svitek, 10 years NFL, 340 pounds, and Ryan Hall, marathoner, 130 pounds. When they came to me, their nutrition was already very good. The only key change for each of them was adding coarse vegetables to their highest calorie carbohydrate meals in the day in order to slow the digestion of those meals. That way, the carb calories enter the bloodstream slower, giving lean tissue more hours to absorb and use the calories being eaten. When the carbs digest faster, they easily overload the absorption capacity of muscle and other lean tissue, therefore overstimulating insulin release, increasing body fat. You can burn off that fat in your workouts, but not always all of it, and with less power than if you were burning the original food in its original carbohydrate form, meaning your workouts cannot achieve the same intensity. Will opted to add leafy greens to his dinner, and Ryan ate celery with his pancakes. As long as the vegetable is crunchy, it will slow digestion rate. If you want nutrients, eat dark vegetables. But if you want to slow digestion for a time-releasing effect, it matters little whether they are dark or not. Celery has essentially no nutrients, but it is easy to eat in the early morning when the healthier, more bitter veggies are a turnoff. Abbreviations used in this book: calories are units of energy. A typical slice of bread contains 100,000 calories, or 100 calories written with a capital C to mean kilocalories. Fat contains 9 calories per gram, capital C, whereas carbs and protein are only 4. About Dr. Clyde Wilson, me, founded the Health Facts Initiative to increase public awareness of scientific research findings. Teaching for over a decade, nutrition and exercise theory courses at Stanford University in medicine, athletics, and continuing studies, and in the medical school at the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF. Research scientist with Professor Roger Cook in the Department of Biochemistry and Biophysics at UCSF, studying the super-relaxed state of skeletal muscle and its implications for human metabolism. My postdoctoral research was in the same lab investigating the mechanism of muscle contraction. Director of the Center for Nutrition at the Sports Medicine Institute, a nonprofit in Palo Alto. PhD is in chemistry from Stanford with Professor Richard Zare, studying ultra-small volume or vesicle biochemistry and vesicle fusion, such as occurs in nerve signaling. My undergraduate research was at Northern Arizona University with Professor Michael Eastman, studying molecular encapsulation or host-guest complexation, modeling biochemical chelation in the body. Previous to this, spent 6 years in nuclear engineering in the Navy on the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, and in the end as supervisor of reactor laboratories in charge of the chemistry and radiation control on board ship.